Well, this is only my second platform in my life of being the speaker. The other one was September 20th at West, and I had so much fun, but it was only a piece of a platform because it was shared with other people, so I got to expand my feelings to express them to you all. And yes, we can lower it. How's that? Will that work for you all? I have to still be able to look at this. Okay, so bear with me. As I prepare to retire from my day job, bid farewell to my duo of over 31 years, wind down my participation as one of the founders of the World Folk Music Association, WFMA, with Dick Serry. I never liked that WFMA, but it's stuck. With Dick Serry and start my new life in Hawaii, I am delighted to share my journey with you, my Novest family, and my friends. Here are some highlights and some of the folks that are and were very important to my journey and who helped me to shape my musical path. This is not in order of importance or chronological. Much of my journey has been a dream come true. People and events I could never have dreamed would be there. When I was little, my parents said I sat on the front porch swing in Gaithersburg and continually sang Doris Day's song, "Whatever will be, que sera, sera." I don't remember that. By the way, the same folks who wrote that also wrote the theme to Mr. Ed, the Talking Horse, of course. And, would you believe, Silver Bells, one of my favorite Christmas songs. Just a bit of trivia, because I love music trivia. I love trivia folk, you know, Dick Serry, radio show, whatever. My earliest memory is of picking up the phone when it rang and just singing to whomever was there. Drove my daddy crazy because it was often his boss, Denny Fry. Turns out Denny loved it. I can remember that. My fifth grade teacher was also a music teacher, Mrs. Williams. I loved her, and we kept in touch for many years. We had music every day. It was wonderful. She left halfway through the year to have a baby and made such an impression on me with her love of kids and music that I still remember the 6 months she was my teacher. She was my first mentor. That fall, I became a Girl Scout, and I was the unofficial song leader. The title followed me through school and through college to now. Thus was born my love of having folks sing along. Even now, I'm a member of a little private non-performing group, and we call ourselves the Singing Sisters Circle. We get together to share our lives and just sing with a joyous mix of religious and non-religious songs and hymns. This came out of what I call my Lake George family, which I have been visiting in New York in the summers and celebrating in their homes for many, many years. Since the early 90s, in fact. They have been fans of my music since before that. These three families are very special friends of mine who have been with me on this journey and were all at the Aloha concert last Saturday night. And added to our circle now are Novest member Penny Anderson and former member Linda Moschel. On your song sheet, please look at One Voice. Do you see that there? This is a song that we begin our circle every time and end our circle with. And we build it up. You can see one voice, two voice, so on, and have layers of harmony. But for us, I was just hoping that once you get the feel of the tune, you'll just sing, okay? This is the sound of one voice, one spirit, one voice, the sound of one who makes a choice. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of voices too, the sound of me singing with you. helping each other to make it through. This is the sound of voices too. This is the sound of voices too. This is the sound of voices three, singing together in harmony, surrendering to the mystery. This is the sound of voices three. This is the sound of voices three. Let's hear it now. This is the sound of all of us singing with love and the will to trust. Leave the rest behind, it will turn to dust. This is the sound of all of us. This is the sound of all of us. This is the sound of one voice, one people, one voice, a song for every one of us. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of one voice. Thank you for doing that. It was really pretty. Another mentor came along when I went to junior high. That was Dick Serry with Music Americana, the folk music radio program, which started me on this path, which led me to last Saturday's Aloha concert and my duo's last performance. Here's the background on my journey with Dick Serry. My new girlfriend, Gail, introduced me to Dick's show in seventh grade music class. Gail and I were instantly friends, and she has been with me on this path all these years, 54 years, right up to last Saturday's concert. She told me about the radio program, and once I listened, I was hooked. I became a correspondent with Dick, which resulted in what we later called Notes on Folk. I would scour the papers and the TV guide to see when folkies were performing and would report it to him. I became his production manager and talent coordinator for his concerts and showcases some years later after college, and we reinstated Notes on Folk, and I would still be his on-air correspondent and assist with the live radio program. Until his death in October of 2013, Dick guided me on this journey, 52 years, and I really miss him a lot. His spirit was with us at the concert last Saturday. Among the many wonderful things Dick gave me, I honor him by saying he brought Sean McGee to me for Side by Side, and I will never forget that. And I will always thank him, and forever. This is the crowning glory, if you will, of my music career. Dick Serry and I had in common our love of folk music, and in particular the folk group, the Chad Mitchell Trio. When John Denver replaced Chad in 1965, he broke the hearts of Gail and Doris. But soon we loved John Denver too. Teenagers have fickle hearts. Many of you know that Sean and I love John's music, and it is that common thread that created Side by Side. In 1986, I surprised Dick at his first annual fundraising concert, which I produced for him. There were 24 after that. By reuniting the Chad Mitchell Trio, which had not been together for 21 years. That's my 15 minutes of fame. I only trusted Sean and a very few other people to know my plans for Dick that time. Sean and I have been blessed to be on the stage since then with the trio, more than any other performers, and we were part of their last concert in Bethesda in November of 2014, which I helped produce. There is a DVD back there on the table at my boutique of just our set that was recorded that night. After more than 50 years, and after one member passed away in the trio in 2014, that was Father Joe Fraser, the trio bid farewell, or so I thought. Yeah, some of you know. I must pause here and tell you about the most magnificent gift to Sean and Doris and the surprise of my life at the concert last Saturday night. Having been told by both Chad and Mike that for health reasons and other really sounding legitimate reasons, neither would be able to come to our farewell concert, I was well lied to and purposely misled by a host of friends, including Mike and Chad of the trio and their band, since March. A great conspiracy was born when Chuck Morris, current president of WFMA, see, I don't even say WFMA all the time, decided WFMA would produce our last concert. We started looking for a venue in March, and thus the conspiracy began. So Saturday night, after a video greeting from Chad and Mike on the screen in front of our sold-out audience, and a special guest, Bill Danoff, and super surprise guest, Tom Paxton, the trio waved on the screen at me like this, okay? Saying that I had hijacked their band, so they weren't gonna sing me a song. And I waved back just for fun, and I turned away, and Sean touched me on the arm, and when I turned back, they seemed to have leapt out of the screen and were bounding toward me, okay? I apparently leaped into the air. I don't remember that, but I do remember that I was down to the floor, all the way down, and jumping up and down, okay? It was an out-of-body experience. It was joyous and it was surreal, all at the same time, okay? As if that was not enough, Sean and I were given seats right in front as Chad and Mike and third member now of the trio, Ron Greenstein, with our band, Paul Prestipino and Bob Heffron. They were, of course, the band for the trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Tom Paxton, and John Denver over the years. They took three songs, rewrote them with parodies on me. One, a Tom Paxton song, Can't Help But Wonder Where I'm Bound, okay, which he sat on the stage beaming as they sang. It was surreal. You'll have to see the video when we get it all together, and there will be a video. It was just as amazing as what I had done with the trio to surprise Dick in 1986. Maybe more amazing, I don't know. I'm still flying, did you notice? Okay. Apparently the only ones who did not know they would be at the concert were Sean, Dave, and me. They really, really pulled it off. I had absolutely no idea. For our second set, another surreal time, to stage right Tom Paxton, sitting there beaming and sending like, oh, I can't even describe it, okay. And to stage left, Chad and Mike, okay, clapping and cheering us on, and just these beautiful, big, beaming faces and smiles on either side. So whenever I looked there or I looked there, I saw. You know, it was amazing. Can you tell I'm still flying? Okay. Let's go back to high school. In my sophomore year, I was chosen to be the so-called elite choir, as opposed to the chorus. It was really an honor, but it set me apart from Gail and many of my friends. There were only 12 of us in the choir. Gail became a member of the choir in our senior year and accompanied us on the piano. For those 3 years, Mary Cross Huntley at Montgomery Blair in Silver Spring guided me further on my journey. Beyond the choir, I became her assistant, and in our senior year, Gail and I became practice teachers for one of the beginning chorus classes, yet another elite honor in the music department. I learned so much from Mrs. Huntley, but the amount of time spent in the music department took a toll on my social life. I had none. Gail had none. I kept my grades up and graduated with a scholarship to Salisbury State Teachers College in Maryland, now Salisbury University. I even led and sang the high school anthem at our graduation. I was happy, and I loved working with Mrs. Huntley. Before she died a few years ago, a group of us choir and chorus members got together with her at her home, and she was so proud of what we had accomplished. That was a great day. Backing up a little further, by the way, I had group piano lessons in fourth grade, and I didn't like that, okay? There were wooden boards. I did not have a piano. Mommy told me I would regret my decision of quitting someday, and I have. I never really learned to play very much. Back to junior high. In junior and high schools, I thought I was so smart. Dick's show was live on Saturday and Sunday nights, and I would hide my transistor radio under the bed with a little earphone and listen on Sunday nights until 11 or even midnight. It was many years later, when I actually worked with Dick at W Light Radio, that Mommy called up and told Dick on the air live that she had known all along that I was sneaking my radio under the bed. Dick thought this was the greatest thing he'd ever heard, and I was mortified. What was so wonderful is that although Mommy never encouraged my music, Daddy did. After he died in 1985, Mommy suddenly became my best friend and best fan and wanted to go to all my gigs. Sean and I would take turns picking her up and getting her home. Whoever took her home went to breakfast late at night with her at the diner on Rockville Pike. That was such a great time. A wonderful memory for me and for Sean, that after all the years of pretty much ignoring what I was doing musically, she got it and wanted to be part of it. It made us very close, and that time together those last few years were very special. You see, Mommy wanted me to have a real job, and singing and playing the guitar was not a real job. She made me promise I would always have a job, and I always have had that. The same year that I discovered Dick's radio program, and met Gail, my sister and I got guitars for Halloween, not Christmas. We came home from school, and there they were right on our beds. I was thrilled. As I had promised not to make a living with my music, Daddy and Mommy gave us guitars. And a few years later, when mine just fell off the wall hanger, never hang a guitar on the wall, okay? She, my sister, Rose, my younger sister, and I walked through a snowstorm. That was Mommy's idea to get me a new guitar. Her sisters, Aunt Ella and Aunt Grace, always supported my music. And when I needed a nicer guitar, bought me a beautiful one, insisted on paying a lot of money for it when I would have been happy with anything. Last Saturday for the concert, my brother and sister-in-law came from New Mexico. Their daughter and her spouse and our younger sister, Rose, came from Baltimore, and my cousins from Eastern Maryland and Silver Spring. My family's the best. I dreamed of someday doing music full-time and touring and all of that, but never wanted to let Mommy down. Now that she's been gone for several years, I still honor that promise, at least until I retire. And all through the years, I planned to be an elementary school music teacher. When I got to college in 1967, I learned that the music major was not in place and would not be for the 4 years I would be there. I got my degree in elementary ed and mourned the loss of my degree in music. Had to move on, though, and I did. All the while, I was learning to play the guitar and learning popular and traditional folk songs and devotedly listening to Dick's program. and I dreamed of being a music teacher and a director somehow, someday. Whenever I came home from college, I would reconnect with Dick and listen to his show. My mentor in college was Miss Audrey Stewart, the Dean of Women's Students. We had a curfew back then of 10:30, and we wore white gloves to Sunday dinner. Yeah. Salisbury College was a suitcase college. Almost everyone left the campus on the weekend. My parents could not do that for me. It was a 3-hour drive back and forth, and they were older parents than most. And Gail's parents were older too, by the way. So on the first weekend, after the hazing, which was horrible for me, on Friday night I was alone. Both of my Baltimore roommates had hit it off and gone home. Three in a dorm never works, in case you've ever wondered about that. It did not work all year. Oh, and did I mention, by the way, I was very shy, very naive, and truly not fashion savvy. I stuck out like a sore thumb. Okay, so I'm sitting on the bed that night, back to the door, and I finish a song, and there's Miss Stewart clapping and asking me to do music for the Student Center the next week to promote the homecoming concert of Tom Paxton. Do I know who he is? Here's the thing, though. I had known from Notes on Folk on Dick's show that the newly revamped Mitchell Trio was to appear at my college for homecoming. And Miss Stewart had just learned they canceled because Joe and then Mike were no longer members with John Denver. I was so excited in summer when I heard this. My college, the Mitchell Trio, I could hardly believe it. But Tom Paxton, that's good, that's good. So having never really performed with my guitar for an audience, suddenly I was, and after a few shaky leg performances, I was off and running. I soon had gigs all over Salisbury, all over the campus, and other towns in the area. I never stopped. I have gigged from freshman year until now. And Miss Stewart made sure I met Tom Paxton that night of the concert, and he thanked me for promoting it and his concert. We have been friends ever since. Fast forward to 1984. As I meet Sean McGee and we become Dick's house band for his concerts and showcases and continue that role until July of this year, one of our early gigs was right here at a platform. How did we meet? When Dick and I got the idea for showcases, Sean's was one of the first audition tapes I received. I really liked it. And I booked him at the Birchmere Showcase. He was very cocky. And he said he could sing with me. And so he came over the next night. The first song we sang in May of 1984, sitting around in my apartment, was John Denver's Trade Winds. And that was the last song we sang in our set last Saturday, Full Circle. I knew this was very special. And I also knew he was the person I had always dreamed of singing with. I can feel that, just the whole feeling coming back. It was meant to be, like a lot of things that have happened on my musical journey that I feel were or are out of my control. A few years after, I was a member of both the ethical societies, and my friend Suzanne Parrish at West, and I saw the movie Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg, taking over and directing a choir of nuns. Did you see it? Yeah, it's great. It was so funny and heartwarming. I told her after that I dreamed of directing a chorus and had not done that. She immediately contacted Don Montagna, leader of West for 35 years, and before I knew it, I was the first director of the first chorus at West. I had hardly gotten home from the movie when Don called and was working out just how we were going to do this in 1 month when Wes opened in the fall. I was terrified and excited at the same time. We set up tables and 25 people signed up. It was just the best several years. Then it was decided at Wes that we needed a director who played the piano. I didn't play. Not long after that, Joan Johnson Lewis, former Novest leader, talked to me And I found myself directing the chorus at Noves, which we lovingly call Noves Singers. So even without the requisite piano skills I would have gotten as a music major in college, I had my dream come true twofold. Though he could not be here today, we are all so fortunate to have Dave Roberts as our accompanist here at Noves all these years. I am so grateful that he did that for us. I couldn't have done it otherwise, I don't think. I owe a lot to my sweetie, Dave, sitting here today as he always encourages me and pushes me to keep my music going. He comes up with creative ideas and comes to a lot of my gigs. For several years, he's been on this journey with me with a smile and a steady sense of humor, sometimes as quirky as Sean's. He loves all kinds of music and has taken me to many, many, many concerts, from rock to pop, Julie Andrews, Carole King, James Taylor, Irish folk. I can't even name them all. We've been to lots of concerts. And he stood by me and helped me plan so many events that I was producing or that I was producing for WUFMA. We have traveled to Ireland, dream trips to Hawaii, Disneyland, Las Vegas, Jackson, Mississippi, Maine, and the list just goes on and on. We both love to travel, though I don't like to fly much. Special thanks and love to Dave. And to Powell, my former spouse, a good friend still. When I was really down one night, we were facing several crises in his family. I sat in a corner on the floor of my mobile home and wrote my song, Trying to Sing, which I opened this morning with. That just literally tumbled right out of me. I thought things were the worst they could be, and then I learned one of those pesky life lessons. It can get worse. Yes, and it always gets better. That gets me through a lot of bad stuff. One of the best and greatest honors has been directing the Noves Singers here and the We Singers at WES. It has indeed been a dream come true. I will always remember Suzanne and how she told Don, and it happened so quickly my head was spinning. I owe both of them a lot for the part of my journey which led me here today. I was an honorary member, a title that Susan Baggett, former leader here, and Don at WES came up with for the first few years, and then I became a full member of both. I could not choose which one. When I am in Hawaii, I will be missing all my Noves and WES friends and remembering the great times we have had together, like the 12 delightful house concerts that we have had at Jim and Ellen's all these years on the bay at their lovely home. A great, great part of the fun of Noves all these years. And yet a further honor, my song, Who to Turn To, has been published in the AEU songbook. I'm thrilled. It's on the back table, and anyone who would like to sign it or leave me a message, please do. Also on the back table is the guest book from the Aloha concert. And I understand there was a very long line to sign it, so if you didn't get to and you were there, you could sign it today if you'd like. And I love the Aloha chain that you all gave me at the house on the bay at the concert in July, and that's back on the table if you'd like to look at that too. As I close today, I want to remind you that my plans have shifted, and some of you know and some of you don't. I won't be leaving until spring. It's not a medical emergency, but a lot of dental work that I need to have done, and I could do it in Hawaii, but that does not make sense. I have a great dentist and surgeon here. I'm gonna stay here until the spring and get this done, okay? That means I hope I will spend time with my Noves friends and you will be happy to have me here just a little bit longer. Let's have a party in the spring, an ice cream social, okay? You know how much I love ice cream. Keep folk music alive and a song in your heart. Aloha and mahalo.